Please remain afterwards for a few announcements. The text for this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Fellow redeemed in Christ, the crucified. Paul declared, "But we preach Christ crucified, and by the grace of God, so do we." We don't preach ourselves. We don't preach our accomplishments. We don't preach watered-down messages devoid of such words as sin, punishment, sacrifice, and cross. We don't preach messages that present God as a doting, slightly senile grandfather who cares nothing about the behavior of his children so long as they stop by the house on Sunday mornings. We don't preach a generic God who can be stretched and distorted to suit every human conception of him. We don't preach God's love without connecting that love to Christ's sacrifice. Not simply, "God loves, God loves, God loves," but "God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." We don't preach a prosperity gospel in which Jesus Christ is more of a banker than a savior. Instead, we preach the infinite riches of God's forgiveness and salvation for all, to all who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. We don't preach that salvation may be earned by good works or by trying harder or resisting God less. Instead, we preach it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And we don't preach that all roads and religions lead to heaven. They don't. Instead, we preach that Jesus Christ alone is the way and the truth and the life. And on Sunday mornings in church, we don't preach entertainment, performances, plays, puppets. Instead, we preach this: the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't preach from Reader's Digest or the Quran or Einstein's theory of relativity or the works of the world's greatest philosophers, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. Instead, we preach from the Bible because it is God's inspired, inerrant word given to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ. And when we preach from the Bible, we preach Christ crucified. Why? First, Christ crucified is God's message. It's his message. And this has been God's message since the beginning of time and the fall into sin. That first sin was followed by that first promise. No sooner had God said, "What is this you have done?" that God added, "This is what I will do. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike like a serpent. You will strike his heel." And so from the very beginning, deliverance was linked to sacrifice. For fallen humanity to be saved, that promised Redeemer would have to die. And so when Jesus came, he repeatedly taught of the necessity of his death, and not only his death, but his death on the cross. "The Son of Man must be lifted up," he said. Crucifixion. "If I am lifted up," he said, "I will draw all people to myself." And as that cross loomed nearer and nearer and nearer, Jesus began to explain we're told in Matthew 16, began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Must, he said. He must die to save us. He did. And we are saved. Second, Christ crucified is God's wisdom. Listen again to Paul's words. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, and we could add you and me, to those God has called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Surely, Jesus of Nazareth was a stumbling block to many Jews. He was not the Messiah they wanted or expected. Who had any time for a Savior who was crucified, dead, and then buried? And in the same way, the wisdom-seeking Greeks viewed the message of Christ crucified as nonsense, not in line with their way of thinking or their philosophies. After all, how could Jesus of Nazareth be true God and true man? How could his death bring life? How could such suffering bring such glory? That's ridiculous, they said. That's foolishness. And you know, the Greek word that Paul used in this text for foolishness is the Greek word moria, from which we derive our English word moronic. They believed that anyone who would trust in such a crucified Savior was, well, moronic. And yet, what the world calls wisdom, God calls foolish. And what the world calls foolish, God calls wise. And what God calls wise is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because his cross is the evidence of mankind's sin. His cross is the evidence of mankind's salvation, and his cross is the answer, the wisdom for all the nagging questions of life. How am I saved? Christ crucified. How do I find lasting peace and forgiveness? Christ crucified. How do I make my relationship work? Christ crucified. How do I endure this lingering illness? Christ crucified. How can I stand before a just and holy God? Christ crucified. Third and lastly, Christ crucified is God's power. Paul said, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. And oh, what power there is in that cross of Christ. Because through the crucifixion of his only son, God accomplished what only he had the power to do, to atone for the sins of the world, to bring about a lasting reconciliation between a holy God and sinful humanity, to defeat the devil as he promised to do in the very beginning in the garden, and to change our loathsome status from lost and condemned to redeemed, restored, and forgiven. And that message of Christ crucified, dear friends, is still the power for our lives today. Look at the cross of Jesus, that cross where the Savior so willingly, lovingly, and undeservedly poured out his life to redeem all of us from our sins. Look at that cross and the Savior who died there, and then ask, in view of him, in his power, is there any injury I can't forgive? Is there any temptation I won't resist? Is there any doubt about how much God loves me? Is there any reason at all for me to worry about anything? The answer is no. But we preach Christ crucified. Why? Because Christ crucified is God's message. Christ crucified is God's wisdom. Christ crucified is God's power. And thus, we may sing with the hymnist, "On my heart, imprint thine image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures have no power thee to efface. This, the superscription be, Jesus crucified for me, is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation." Amen. Hymn 179.